All right, what is up, everyone? Welcome to the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. This is our weekly waiver wire show for week three, actually. I'm your host, Frank Costanzo. You can follow me on Twitter at FrankQBList. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, Ryan Heath, who you can follow at QBL Ryan. Of course, make sure to follow our website at the QB List and all of our other writers. So, Ryan, how's it going? It was a pretty terrible week two, I would say.
Yeah, it was not the best week two. I remember distinctly it was about 1:30 p.m. and Paris Campbell got injured. And I thought to myself at that moment, wow, it really couldn't get any worse than this. And I was incredibly wrong. Yeah, as it turns out.
It did. I know in one of my main league, I think I lost five guys. So it's, you know, it's just one of those weeks. It's just like everyone was dropping like flies. And that means, I mean, we got some guys to talk about today, but, you know, you never want it under those kind of circumstances.
Yeah, lots to talk about for sure. Yeah, just all day I've been seeing all these Twitter screenshots of the rosters that have like between 8 and 10 guys that are going to IR now. And it's like, man, brutal.
It's miserable. And, you know, it's like Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport can't stop tweeting just about, oh, this guy, 4 to 6 weeks. And that's like a good thing. So,
yeah, it's been coming out like across the day as the day has gone on. It's like every hour, I feel like we get another update of it's just rubbing it in even more.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So I guess we're going to get started again. Just to remind everyone, we're looking at players under 40% ownership on either Yahoo or ESPN. So, Ryan, why don't you get us started with this is not a direct list in order, but I think this guy probably is, I would say, the number one pickup though.
Yeah, I would agree. So for this week, I would say the number one pickup is Mike Davis of the Panthers. Christian McCaffrey is going to be out for at least a month with a high ankle sprain. These players, especially running backs, when they get high ankle sprains, generally aren't completely right. And for the rest of the season, a lot of the time. So this could really be a lingering injury as well. So you're looking at least four very solid weeks of production here with Mike Davis. He actually had 8 targets yesterday, which was a pretty attention grabbing. Even before McCaffrey was out of the game, Davis was being used on third down a lot, sort of as Bridgewater's safety valve. He seems very comfortable just throwing it out to Davis when he's getting pressured. Mike Davis himself has never really had a big opportunity like this, but he's 28 years old. He's been pretty much buried on rosters since he's gotten into the league. But in college, he hauled in a lot of receptions. He's physically built kind of similarly to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. A lot of people get mad at me for making that comparison. But he really like this short, compact guy. Yeah. He's 5'9", 217. He's not the craziest athlete in the world. But overall, you can really look to him, I think, to potentially provide RB2 production as long as McCaffrey's out.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, he's kind of been around the league for a little while, bounced around. But I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago with Seattle, he actually had some games that he was definitely usable. And he's a solid player and he will. I mean, no one's going to slide into the McCaffrey role perfectly, but he does have the pass catching ability. Like you said, he had 8 targets, which is that's as many as McCaffrey had in like 2 weeks. I mean, catches, I would say, like he's definitely going to be a check down guy, which we know Teddy likes to do. And yeah, I think right now he's the clear ad because is there even anyone behind him worth talking about? I don't really think so. I think he's definitely going to be the clear guy to handle the majority of the carries and touches out of the backfield.
Yeah, exactly. Reggie Bonifon was long thought of as the McCaffrey handcuff, but he was cut in the preseason. Yep. Trenton Cannon is on the depth chart, but he's bounced around the league some. He's really undersized.
Yeah.
I don't think he's really going to be that big of a factor. What it mostly means is that the Panthers are going to have to continue throwing the ball over and over and over again. I think we talked about this last week, but probably worst defense in the league. I think it's safe to say that now.
Yeah, definitely.
So the game script is going to be negative a lot, which is probably a good thing for Mike Davis's skill set.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect for Mike Davis's skill set. And also, you know, just buy DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson if you can.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the note, really.
Yeah, Robbie Anderson's looking incredible right now. Mm-hmm. And then just a final note, the upcoming schedule for the Panthers is Chargers, Cardinals, Falcons. Those first two games are against some really tough defensive fronts. So the thought could be that Teddy's going to be under pressure a lot and have to throw quickly. And that could lead to a lot of dump offs to Mike Davis. And then obviously the Falcons 3 weeks from now are pretty close to the Panthers, actually, for the worst defense in the league.
Yeah.
So we got some potentially good matchups coming up for Mike Davis in the near future.
If we learn anything so far, the Falcons are going to be in a shootout every game. So,
yeah, it's what it's looking like.
Yeah. All right. So our next player here is Jerick McKinnon. Tevin Coleman and Raheem Mostert both left the game against the Jets yesterday. Coleman, they're saying, is going to be at least multiple weeks for his injury. I don't think there was really any news about Mostert for his duration, but I do know that it's I think it's an MCL sprain or something like that. So the team right now is down two running backs. They're down George Kittle. Deebo Samuel is out. McKinnon, obviously, he's a pass catching back as well. So he's going to have a potential chance at a lot of volume coming up pretty soon. He's been a great athlete. We've known that for a while. And, you know, I had some concerns about, are these injuries going to be affecting his athleticism? So far, it has not looked like that's the case at all. He still explodes when he's on the field. You know, you could say that there's a concern about Nick Mullen taking over for Jimmy Garoppolo. But again, this week, specifically, Jerick McKinnon is playing the Giants defense, and there's nothing to be worried about there. And Nick Mullen, actually, he had some games when he was the starter. The offense wasn't totally awful. And, you know, because you have Kyle Shanahan, I think you can always be confident in them having at least a baseline level on offense. Do you have anything you want to add about Jerick?
Yeah, I'd say as far as the offense goes, it does seem like Garoppolo's injury is turning toward minor. And even if Mullen's is at the helm, there was a cry of mediocre excitement, I would say, when he went on the field. He's a fun player to watch. But yeah, McKinnon is probably the most likely to vacuum up the valuable touches in this backfield. Mm-hmm. Jeff Wilson could mix in potentially. Jamichael Hasty is a name to watch. He was an undrafted free agent that is on the practice squad who will probably get promoted, at least for this week. He's like more of a bursty guy that can kind of hit the hole and make the one cut like Shanahan always wants his running backs to.
Yeah.
But as far as targets go, I would definitely be looking to McKinnon first, and he's next man up. It might be Jet McKinnon time. We've been waiting for it for a while.
All right. So Ryan, who's the next guy on your list?
So next is probably still in this top tier of ads for this week. I think it's really goes three deep as far as guys you want to be spending your fab on is Deion Lewis. So Saquon is out for the year officially with a torn ACL. It's incredibly unfortunate. Deion Lewis soaked up pretty much all the snaps after Saquon exited the game.
Yep.
I was surprised when I saw this. He's like 30 years old now.
I know. Like, he's been around a little while.
Yeah. I don't know where all the time's gone with Deion Lewis. It was only an eternity ago in 2017 when he was a fantasy league winner.
Yeah.
When he was on the Patriots that year. But yeah, he really has a pass catching skill set that should allow him to get all those targets that Daniel Jones loves to funnel to his running backs. I wouldn't go completely all in because this backfield could get a new visitor, as we're going to talk about later on. Mm-hmm. But right now it's looking like he's definitely going to capture most of the role. I don't think Wayne Gallman or Elijah Penny are really threats to him. It's a pretty entrenched backup. They paid him a decent amount of money this offseason. So
yeah, right now Deion Lewis is definitely the guy. I think Deion Lewis is the best pass catch backfielder now, and the Giants are going to be playing from behind a lot. I mean, Jason Garrett, I could go on for a long time talking about Jason Garrett's play calling so far, so I'd rather not get started on that. But yeah, I think, as you said, there's a tease for later on. Maybe don't go crazy on Deion Lewis at the right now, but yeah, he's definitely a potential add.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad that we just did a teaser. That's I feel like we've,
we're pros
we've
now.
Graduated. Yeah, we're, we've yeah. graduated into the podcast game now. All right, who do you have next, Frank?
Right. So next is Darrell Henderson, and you know this is coming from the guys who told you to get Malcolm Brown last week, but Cam Akers got injured pretty early on in the game against Philadelphia yesterday, and so Darrell Henderson started to get his touches increased. Also, Malcolm Brown, it's been kind of underreported too, but he actually had a finger injury, so I think that's partially probably why Darrell Henderson also started playing a little bit more too, so that's something to monitor. I haven't seen too much about it today, but Henderson had 12 rushes for 81 yards and a touchdown. He also had three targets, caught two of them for 40 yards. He led the Rams running backs in touches, 14 to Brown's 11. And he was also second in snaps, though, to Brown. Brown had 37. He had 20. Though with both of their for Akers and Brown, Darrell kind of seems like he could have this backfield kind of to himself right now. I think it's great. He's an explosive playmaker. He clearly has more juice than Malcolm Brown does. You know, he had a nice long catch and a long run. I think he, you know, he's clearly has some speed to him, which in this one kind of one cut backfield, like how Sean McVay likes to use, I think Darrell Henderson has a lot of upside. But, you know, who knows? Maybe next week we'll be talking about Brown again. It seems like we're going to be going back and forth maybe on these guys.
Yeah, definitely possible. Henderson was a guy I really liked coming out of college. He had a ton too. Of production in Memphis. He was one of the most efficient college running backs of all time. Mm-hmm. Really explosive player. Had kind of given up on him after last year and after they spent the draft capital on Akers, but it looks like he's going to get a real addition now. So I do want to note that the first drive the Rams came out and Akers got, I think, every single touch in the backfield on the first drive. And then he just immediately injured his rib. So it's really disappointing for Cam Akers enthusiasts. It looked like he was about to have a really good game with some positive game script too, but it wasn't meant to be. And now we're working with Darrell Henderson, at least for 1 week.
All right. So Ryan, who's up next for you?
Yeah. So up next, I'm going to put myself out on a limb a little bit. So tonight, Tre'Quan Smith is playing in Monday Night Football. This will probably come out sometime during the game. A lot of people probably won't listen till tomorrow morning. So this could be a freezing cold take very quickly. But Tre'Quan Smith is 86% available in Yahoo leagues. Michael Thomas is likely out multiple weeks from the reporting we've been getting. Drew Brees talked up Tre'Quan in training camp a lot. He was definitely a camp darling this year. Tre'Quan actually outsnapped Emmanuel Sanders in week one. He ran 24 routes to Sanders 23. It didn't really show in the stat line, but this is stuff we can notice when we pay more attention to the usage. Tre'Quan himself, he began producing at a really young age at UCF. Their offense was never the same without him, really, once he went to the NFL. And he's just a really good speculative ad before the game tonight, if you get it in, or depending what he does tomorrow, he could definitely be a hot commodity based on his performance, I think.
Yeah, he's, you know, one of those explosive type players, downfield threat. He's one of those guys. You just need one play from him to pay off. And yeah, I mean, Jared Cook kind of was like the vertical element of the Saints last week. And I, you know, Tre'Quan definitely, I think, fills that role a little bit better than your tight end. I think, like you said, without Michael Thomas now, there's a lot of targets now to go around. I mean, he was already have like 180, 190 targets last year. I mean, they're going to be throwing the ball, and Tre'Quan, I think, is definitely, you know, what is he going to be, a third-year player? He's going to have a, third-year breakouts happen all the time with wide receivers, so it's definitely not a bad call.
Yeah, we are way too quick to give up on these guys a lot of the time because we just expect these rookie year breakouts now, which isn't realistic a lot of the time. So for sure. Definitely a good ad, just kind of going into like philosophy of how you manage your bench in fantasy football. He's the type of player that if you have him stashed on your bench can really pay off. He's got that like alpha wide receiver upside, really, that someone like Emmanuel Sanders doesn't really bring to the table anymore, right, at least. Exactly. So who do you have next?
Yeah, so next we got Joshua Kelly. I think we might have mentioned him at the end of last week, just as like a speculative like guy, but he played 52% of the snaps. He's already got 35 carries, which is fifth most in the NFL, if you could imagine that. He's slowly kind of growing into that Melvin Gordon role and starting to get targets, which, you know, just Justin Herbert playing kind of helped that already. I mean, he targeted the running backs a lot more than Tyrod Taylor did all of week one. So that'll help. And, you know, Kelly, he's not the fastest guy or the most explosive guy, but he has, you know, he's good getting out of cuts and like as a downhill kind of runner, great compliment to Austin Eckler. And I think as we saw last year, multiple running backs can produce in this offense. And I think, you know, if you're one of those guys, you lost McCaffrey, you lost Saquon or something, Kelly can definitely fill in a role, spot starts here and there for your team.
Yeah, if the Chargers are going to keep using him like they have been, he really needs to be on rosters.
Yes.
There's not like this crazy ceiling without something like an Eckler injury, God forbid. But right. He's definitely a good spot start or for teams that suddenly find themselves thin at the running back position.
Yeah, and if, you know, Herbert's, I mean, he's saying right now Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starter if he's healthy, which we'll see about that. I don't know how often you can just put the rookie away again, but Herbert looked pretty good in his start. So if they are all of a sudden playing from leads a little bit more too, you know, Kelly's the guy that's going to be grinding out those yards at the end of games.
Yeah, it seems like their defense is legit this year. Yeah. We'll cross our fingers on more of their pieces not getting injured.
Right,
but
as the Chargers play.
But limiting Mahomes and the Chiefs like they did was really impressive, and game script could definitely be in Josh Kelly's favor this year.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so who do you got next, Ryan?
So next we got Russell Gage. I want to say we mentioned him last week, but he's just really in a role that can be valuable for fantasy. A lot of us, I know a lot of people had hoped this would be Hayden Hurst's role, but it really seems like it's Russell Gage that is the primary beneficiary of this Falcons passing attack. He really is just playing out of the slot, not seeing a ton of coverage when Julio's on the outside. The Falcons are always in shootouts. And Julio is dealing with a hamstring injury. Surprise, surprise. Julio Jones is the king of being a game time decision.
Yes.
So definitely a good depth add at the wide receiver position.
Yeah. And he's eighth in the NFL in targets. You know, this Falcons offense is, they're going to be throwing the ball all game. I mean, their running game has been struggling dating back to even last year. And as we saw, the game is never really over when the Falcons are playing. So Matt Ryan is going to be throwing a lot. And I think that's only going to continue all year long. So I think Russell Gage, yeah, he's definitely, he's not going to be the sexy guy to start in your lineup, but bye weeks and stuff like that, a guy you can count on for at least, you know, a few points here and there.
Yeah, for sure. All right, who's your last guy today, Frank?
So we teased him. We teased him earlier. There we go, podcast kings over here. Devonta Freeman, he worked out for the Giants today. And, you know, people have been speculating on Twitter that maybe with Tevin Coleman and Raheem Mostert out, that maybe he'll go back and meet up with Kyle Shanahan. But, you know, there's a very, very strong chance he's going to get signed somewhere. You know, is he going to be a league winner or something like that? Probably not. But, you know, I guess this has worked out well for him. He's going to find himself in a place where he's going to play immediately, pretty much. So he definitely should be rostered. I mean, do you want to wait until after waivers, see if you can pick him up? Because if he hasn't signed yet, maybe like he slips through the cracks in your league. But I think definitely keep your eye on him coming up.
Yeah, he's not necessarily going to sign somewhere and go out and command 20 touches this week.
Right.
But definitely, yeah, after waivers clear, he's a really good, just kind of sneaky guy to throw on to your bench.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like Deion Lewis, can we trust him taking over the Giants running game? I don't know. He's kind of more of a pass catcher. Maybe that's where Devonta Freeman comes in and handles the early down work. Kind of same thing with Jerick McKinnon. Is he – do the – 49ers see him more as a pass catcher. So that's kind of the thought on Devonta Freeman. You don't really know where he's going to be right now. So we can't really talk too much about him, but at the moment he'll probably be playing somewhere by the time this comes out.
Yeah, we could even see a Kyle Shanahan reunion in San Francisco.
Right, yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
Are there any other guys maybe just off the top of your head maybe you want to throw out there?
Not really. It seems crazy. Like, there were so many injuries going down this week, but at the same time, it doesn't seem like there's that wide a range of guys to be considering.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. Maybe the only one that I might throw out there right now is Jordan Reed. he looked pretty good. I mean, and we know Kyle Shanahan likes him too. And it kind of seems like that George Kittle might not be playing again this week against the Giants, who are also have been terrible guarding tight ends for my whole entire life. So I could see Jordan Reed burning us again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I was seeing the Jordan Reed touchdowns.
He was getting plenty of red zone looks. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like it's 2015 all over again.
I know. All right, well, I think that about does it for week 3 waivers. Again, please, everyone, follow Ryan at QBL Ryan on Twitter. You can follow me at Frank QBList. You can follow the website at the QBList. And again, listen, subscribe, and rate and review the podcast. Eric and everyone will be back later this week to talk about what start sit decisions. So, yeah, have a good one, everyone, and good luck on your waiver wires.